All right. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Recently, I've been thinking a lot about the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew and also reading in John, around John 15. And here in Matthew 6, we'll read a few verses, starting in verse 19 to 21. We'll get there in a second. My title would be, Where Is It? Where is it? And here's the basic idea tonight. If you want your heart in the right place, you need to treasure the right things. If you want your heart in the right place, you have to treasure the right things. You probably warned your children, or your parents warned you, don't play in the street, right? It's dangerous. They probably said, you should play over here. Play in the grass or play, you know, in the backyard or something. But don't play in the street. It's dangerous. And if they're old enough to understand, you'd explain to them. They may not see you coming around the curve. It's dangerous. You could get hit by a car. Well, Jesus Christ, kind of the same thing for us tonight in this passage. He's got a warning for us. He offers us some wisdom, and then he tells us the why. Those are my 3 points. He gives us a warning. Well, let's read it first here. Chapter 6, look at verse 19. It says, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. First, he gives us a warning. Warning. We need warnings. Warnings are important. And, you know, if we hear a warning from somebody else, we might be a little skeptical. You know, they say, you know, you be careful on that ladder. And it's like, oh, well, you know, it's okay. They're just a little worrywart, maybe, or something. But when Jesus gives us a warning, we need to really pay attention. And he does. He says, don't lay up for yourselves treasure on earth. And the word lay up means store up, gather, or save. For treasure, that which is stored, or a store laid up. Those are some of the words that I got from the lexicons. We might generalize it and say stuff. Generally, he's saying, don't gather to yourself stuff. What's the reason? Well, he gives a reason. He says, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. We know all about that. Things don't last, we say, right? Stuff on earth breaks, and the stuff that doesn't break, people steal, right? Because they want it. But we know in the end, it's all going to burn up. Now, Jesus gives 2 illustrations about laying up treasure on earth. And they're both here in this context. One is in Luke. It doesn't record it here in Matthew. But right before this, in Luke, it records this, and I'll read it to you. It says, And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What should I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He's thinking to himself. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I'll build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Jesus says, So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So what does it mean to lay up treasure on this earth? Well, Jesus gives 2 illustrations. This is the first one found in Luke. And what is this guy doing? He wants to be rich. He's working to become rich. That's one way you can lay up treasure on earth. We wouldn't say we're working on being rich, but, you know, we want to be well-to-do. We might call it the American dream. That's what we're looking for. Hey, what's so wrong about having a nice house, having a nice car, having a good life with my family, you know? They have the live, laugh, love kind of thing you see in Walmart on the signs. Oh, that's great. And that's kind of the Christian, you know, if you're one of the hip Christians, you've got one of those on your walls. Live, laugh, love. And, you know, we want to have a good life. We want to have nice things. And, you know, we don't have to have the best, but we just, you know. And so that's what we do. Jesus says, that's wrong. That's a wrong way of living your life. He doesn't say it's wrong to be rich. But he does say, not Jesus, but it says in Proverbs, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. So this is one of the illustrations. Makes it very clear. If you're trying to be rich, if you're trying to live the American dream, if you're trying to just, you know, you want to have a nice life on this earth, God says you're laying up treasure on earth. And he says that's wrong. He gives us a warning concerning that. Now, this might sound a little radical, but Jesus gives another illustration. This is in Matthew, in the preceding verses, starts in verse 31 through 34. Really the whole context here, but we'll read these few verses. He says, Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If you're working on becoming well-to-do, working on having nice things, live the American dream, working on being rich, God says that's wrong. If you're working, if you're spending your life, hey, I just want to pay the bills. I want to provide for my family. I want to make sure they have clothes. I want to make sure I have food. Yeah, I'm not trying to be rich. I just want to make sure they have what they need. I just want to make sure that, you know, paying the bills on time. God says, Jesus says, that's wrong. He does say that's wrong. What? He says, you shouldn't be working on those things. That's laying up treasure on this earth. All that's going to pass away. What's the value of your life if you, you know, put a time card in every week? Yep, I worked my 12 hours this day and that day, or 8 hours, whatever. And then, you know, your family had food and they died and no rewards. They laid up treasure on this earth. It's all going to be burned away. God says, don't lay up treasure in heaven. Now, these two choices here, let me make it clear. It's not about working and not working. God's not saying, don't work. You know, stop working on earth. You just don't need to do anything. It's not about that. Those aren't the two options. The two options, the two choices are working for yourself or working for God. God says, work for me, and I'll provide for all your physical needs. Now, so he offers us a warning here. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. It's going to break. People steal it. He gives the two illustrations. We shouldn't be trying to be rich. We shouldn't be working just to pay the bills and provide for our family. God says, I will provide for you. You don't have to provide for yourself. You need to follow me. You need to serve me. And as you serve me, I'll provide for you. I'm not saying he doesn't give us jobs, but we need to make sure that our job is not to provide for our needs. Our job is to serve the Lord. Now, number two, he offers us some wisdom. And you see that in the next verse. So first, don't lay up treasure on this earth, number two, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Treasure in heaven doesn't break, does it? It'll last for eternity, and it doesn't lose its value. Treasure in heaven cannot be stolen. It's secure. Whatever we give to God, it's there, it'll last forever, and it will not lose its value. Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 through 10. It says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. But get it here. Wherefore, we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We'll talk about this a little bit more at the end, but there is an end, and there is a purpose, and we want to labor that will be accepted of him. And the only way we can do that is if we lay up treasure in heaven and not on this earth. Now, he gives us a warning. He gives us some wisdom, offers some wisdom, and he tells us, number three, he tells us why. And you see that in the next verse, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The heart is of the greatest importance, isn't it? It is. Why did Israel go wrong? You look at the Old Testament, God gave them everything they needed and much more. And where did they go wrong? Deuteronomy 6, listen to God's commands to them. He says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And we know that that's the greatest commandment. He also told them, My commandment should be in your heart, the second thing he said. And the third thing he said, teach them diligently to your children. He says, when you sit down, when you are going by the way, when you go to lay down, when you rise up, you need to be talking about the commandments of the Lord. And as you see, they broke one or two or all of these things. You know, maybe for a time they served the Lord, but they didn't teach him diligently to their children. Maybe for a time they had a good, you know, they loved the Lord, but the commandments weren't in their heart. And really, all of that is a failure of the first one. They didn't quite love the Lord with all their heart, with all the soul and might. The heart is the greatest importance, and Jesus affirms that. He said in Mark 12:30, he reasserts Deuteronomy 6. You remember the scribe came to him, and he said that that was the greatest commandment, that you should love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, John 14:15 tells us, If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, you see how the heart is so important and what we love. If we love God, we're going to keep his commandments. Matthew 5:8 says, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honored me with their lips. That's great, isn't it? We ought to be doing that. People draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. That is good. But if we read the rest, it says, But their heart is far from me. The first part was good. But the second part nullifies it. The heart was wrong. And so that's the problem. You see, the heart is important, where the heart is. Mark 7:17-23. You'll remember, I think it was the Pharisees and scribes. They were upset with him about traditions, Jesus and traditions and washing hands. And he gave them a parable. And afterwards, the disciples, they didn't quite understand it. And this is the account of it. It says, And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Here it is. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile the man. Key phrase, from within, out of the heart of men. The heart's important. It's important. Here's some other verses to consider. Proverbs 4:23, Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. 1 John 2:15, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So where our heart is and what it's doing, the condition of our heart is very important. I know we know that, and I gave you a lot of verses, and there's more verses, and the Bible is very clear. It's very important. So, Jesus says in verse 21, For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if your treasure's here, your heart's here. If your treasure's here, your heart's here. If your treasure's here, your heart's there. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So if the heart is of the greatest importance, consequently, where your treasure is of the greatest importance. Right? Makes sense. Because that's where my heart is. What you do reveals and directs the heart. What you do with your life reveals and directs the heart. Now, politicians are notorious for this, right? We know. They'll say, moral injustice is the grossest immorality, the grossest evil of all things, you know, unless it benefits us, kind of on the side. They're hypocrites, right? We know there's a hidden agenda. They don't really care about those things. How do we know that? We know it because what they do reveals it. It's obvious. They'll say, oh, this is bad over here, and the same thing happens over here, and well, it's not bad. It's okay. It's not a big deal, really. They're hypocrites, but what they do reveals their heart. Same thing with us. What we do reveals our heart. And I don't mean this as a, you need to watch our testimony. I mean, that's true. Pastor talked a little bit about it in Sunday school. But I say this for our own sake. If what we do reveals our heart, that means we can look at our life with some introspection to see where our heart is. We ought to think about your life. Think about what you've been doing recently and with your whole life. Think back and you can see where your heart has been. Have you been laying stuff on earth or laying treasure up in heaven? Your heart is revealed by what you do. Now, but also, what you do directs the heart. What you do and allow to influence you will shape who you are, shape your heart. We were talking about going down south. I was talking with Sam. And as a teenager, we'd go down to North Carolina every year, just about every year. And we go to summer camp down there at Ambassador Baptist College. And you'd go down there. Now, I grew up in the South a little bit for 8 years. Not very long. I remember it, but it wasn't a big part of my life. And but we get up to the North, and I'm comfortable up here. But we go back down there, and you have a week of camp, and everybody's from the South there. And you get back home, and for a whole week, you're talking with a Southern accent. I don't know if it happens with anybody else. You go down and you're with those people, and then you pick it up and you have it for a week. But that's the same thing with our heart. Where you go, what you do, it'll shape your heart. It'll shape the way you think. If your goal in life is, hey, I'm going to climb the ladder, you know, I'm working in this sawmill, and, you know, I'd like to be the supervisor, and if I can be the supervisor, then I'd like to be one of the, you know, the next supervisors up or whatever it is. And so that's the way you think. That's what's important to you. That's going to shape what you care about. Oh, you're going to care about how people work, care about how things work. Your heart's going to change based on what you do and what you decide to do with yourself. So what you do directs the heart, what you decide to do. I know that can work both ways. It can. Your heart can direct you, but what you do directs the heart as well. So, consequently, we're talking about, Jesus tells us the why. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The heart's of the greatest importance. Therefore, where your treasure is of the greatest importance, what you do reveals and directs the heart, number one. Number two, your direction determines your destination, obviously, right? I was talking with Sam again. I'm just thinking of it now. We're talking about interstates, and what interstate do you take to get down there? We take 84 and take 81. And, you know, I've done this twice. I remember the first time and the second time that I traveled to Pennsylvania by myself. I was 16, I think, the first time. I'm driving along, and it's going great, and I'm in New York, and I don't know why, but I took the same exit both times, the wrong exit. Took 87 up to Albany. And that's not where you want to go. And I'll tell you, if you go that way, it's going to take you an extra 15 minutes before you find the next exit. And it just wasn't worth it. But I'm not going to get to my destination if I'm going that way. Now, we know that's obvious. But what you do on this life is pointing you in a direction. What you do on this life, at the end of this life, you're going to reach that destination. I'm not talking about hell or heaven. I'm talking about being acceptable to the Lord or not. What you do in this life will matter for all eternity. We know that for many reasons. Souls saved, or just the things that you did for the Lord. As Pastor mentioned, and as Malachi says, the Lord remembers. There's a book of remembrance. The Lord remembers. And what you do will matter for all eternity. Listen to Matthew 8, 36 and 38. It's Mark 8, 36 and 38. You don't have to turn there. But it's in Matthew. It says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in his glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now, we can't lose our soul if we're saved. That's true. But it does say here that whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words, says that, Jesus will be ashamed of you. We want, as Pastor said too, We want to hear the well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if we're ashamed of him, we won't. He makes that clear. He's going to be ashamed of us. So what we do on this life is important. It'll matter for all eternity. And there is an end. And there is a judgment. And that scripture is very clear. 2 Corinthians 5, it says, I've already read it, but I'll read it again. It says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Why? Well, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That was what Paul said. That was on his mind. 2 Peter 3:11-14. This is Peter talking. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What? What is he talking about? Context. The world is going to be destroyed. God promised he's going to destroy the world, not by a flood, but by fire. It's going to be destroyed. And he says, seeing that this is going to happen, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, here it is, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, if you're laying up treasure on earth, again, if you're working, hey, I just want a nice life, I want to have good things for my family. It's not wrong to have good things for your family. But if that's what you're working for, God says, don't labor for that. If you're laboring, I got to make sure I have food. I got to make sure I have clothes. Make sure I provide for my family. If that's what you're doing with your life, God says that's wrong. The only thing we should be doing is serving the Lord. Yeah, we'll work a job, I'm sure. But we're serving the Lord. Why do I work that job? Because I'm serving the Lord. Why do I do what I do? I'm serving the Lord. There's something bigger here. And both Paul, both Peter, Jesus said it. The writer of Hebrews says here in Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, here it is, let us lay aside every weight. Treasures on earth can weigh us down, right? They can hinder us from doing stuff. You remember that rich ruler? He went away sorrowful from Jesus when he said, sell all that you have and go and give to the poor. He went away sorrowful. The treasures of this world were the weight. It was too much for him. It says we need to lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He offers us encouragement. He says, you're starting to feel faint. Think about Christ and what he went through. He says, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. A lot of things to remember, good stuff in Hebrews and in this passage. But I want to focus on, he says, to lay aside every weight. And he says, we need to be looking unto Jesus. If we're laying up treasure in heaven, we're not looking unto Jesus. We're looking unto ourselves and the circumstance and our family and our lives. And Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So let's recap where we're at. Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you want your heart in the right place, your treasure must treasure the right things. If you want your heart in the right place, you must treasure the right things. And Jesus makes it clear. He gives us warning. He gives us warning and says, don't lay up treasure on earth. Don't waste your life trying to get food for your family. Don't waste your life trying to get clothes for your family. Don't waste your life trying to make a nice life for yourself. He says, lay up treasure in heaven. So we're all storing up treasure. Every one of us is. We are. You are storing up treasure. Where is it? That's my title, remember? Where is it? Where's the treasure? Where is it? Well, you need to know, right? I need to know where I'm storing it up. It's pretty important. Your heart is with your treasure. The title of the message is, where is it? Where's the heart? Well, you need to know. So Jesus gives us a warning. He says, don't lay up treasure on this earth. He gives us some wisdom. Lay up treasure in heaven. And he tells us why. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We serve a great God, and he'll provide everything we need. He'll give us everything we need. All we have to do is just be obedient and follow him. It's simple, I know, but I think if we're not doing the right thing, if we get messed up, it's because we're not doing the basic stuff. And I find that true in my life. I need to go back to the little basics because they're really important. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and that you are so kind to give us this truth. Help us to learn it and to apply it in our lives, to decide that we're going to serve the Lord with our life and that we'll be faithful. We need your help, and we thank you that you do give us help. May you be honored and glorified by all things, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.